Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster, Jacob Albrecht joining you on a Tuesday. Jacob, big show on tap today.
That's right. We're glad to be with you till 11 o'clock, however it is that you are taking in the show, driving to work, listening to us on the Kansas Fan Headquarters, KFH. All good. We appreciate it. When you hop out of the car, you can take us with you on the Odyssey app, or maybe you want to pull us up on the video stream there at work. You can do that on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. And of course, on 12 News Connected, always happy to be on 12 News Connected. All the different ways you can take in the show, we appreciate it no matter how it is that you take in the show. We're glad you're here with us. KU plays last night, and Bill Self reminds everybody why he's Bill Self. He's going to do what he wants. They're going to win big over Iowa State at home anyway. We'll talk about that a lot today, a 17-point win over the Cyclones last night. We will get into the Chiefs who have arrived and sort of taken the stage in New Orleans. We get all the pomp now and, you know, all the celebration and the glamour of the Super Bowl, and there's award ceremonies and there's celebrity parties and all that. Meanwhile, the Chiefs and Eagles probably don't care too much about most of that and just want to get down to the football. We'll continue to do that. Dan Israel is our Chiefs insider, and he is in New Orleans, and we're going to bring him in to discuss the latest from the Big Easy there. Lots of interesting things happening for you across the sports world. We can maybe dig into some of what we ended with yesterday just briefly on these just massive NBA trades that were made. A headline league certainly making some headlines lately. But it's all on tap for you today. You can give us a call at 869-1240. You can leave us your voice messages through the Odyssey app. All those video streams we mentioned, you can leave us your comments there. You can reach out to us directly on X as well. We see those throughout the show. We're glad you're here with us. We're fueled up. We thank Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up every day on Sports Daily and across the Odyssey Network. Tommy, we'll get into KU more in depth next segment, but they bounce back and they get a big win. And they are now tied with Iowa State, who is reeling in the standings. Three straight losses for Iowa State. The Big 12 is getting very interesting. You have four teams inside the top 10 of the net, including Kansas, and one just outside in Arizona. Basically, you have five teams, you know, outside the top 11. And then you got a lot of other really good quality teams. We talked yesterday. Is K-State one of them if they're playing this way? It's all out there for us. We're excited to have it. What'd you think of that game last night? Remember how we said Bill Self can't play those guys 30 minutes together every game? Well, he did, and he beat Iowa State by 17 at home. So I guess he does know what he's doing.
Well, he knows what he's doing for sure. And also when it's Big Monday on ESPN at home, the guy is undefeated in his time at Kansas, Big Monday at home. So, I mean, it was a great performance from start to finish for Kansas. You know, the major issue had been over the last couple of weeks, the Jayhawks not able to put teams away in the second half. You know, talking about the biggest comeback ever when they played Baylor in Waco over the weekend. Talking about, you know, them blowing that 6-point lead against Houston at home last week or a couple weekends ago. So they had really struggled with that. So when they came out and built that big, you know, 15-point lead or whatever it was at halftime, you're cautiously optimistic because they had played really well in the first half, but there was a part of me where I'm like, well, I've seen this movie before, where they've gotten out to a big lead, they played really well. And then, you know, whether it's tired legs or poor execution or a combination of a lot of different things, they weren't able to hold on. Well, they were able to hold on and make it happen from start to finish last night. So a really quality and signature win for the Jayhawks. And, you know, I thought that they did a great job, not only in game planning, but also in execution.
Yeah, look, they did. And, you know, it was, again, we'll go into the, you know, to the nitty gritty of it in our next full segment. But it's just good to see them bounce back. It's good to see them flex. It's going to be hard with Kansas. They're good enough to beat anybody. They're good enough at their best to be the best team in the country. It's just, can they get there consistently? Can they get there once the tournament comes around? What is it? They need 5 games in a row. They haven't done that yet this year. So that's sort of what we're looking for, I think, from them. But, you know, it's good for Iowa State. They better figure it out quick. You don't really have room to go on these sorts of stretches in the Big 12. They're going to have to get it figured out. Rick chimes in. I'm glad they won, but Iowa State shot 30% and 14%. I'd like to say in 14% from three. I'd like to hope Kansas had something to do with that.
The most egregious thing
from Saturday is 60 points and a half from Baylor. Right. So yeah, I think seeing Kansas get back to what it should be consistently defensively was priority one on Monday night.
You know, to Rick's point, Iowa State shot poorly and they took bad shots. The shot selection was not good from the Cyclones. You know, they were just heaving up prayers that weren't falling, obviously. That was part of it, but I also think that the Jayhawks forced them into some of those bad situations. So yeah, I mean, Iowa State shot the ball really badly, but I do agree that by and large, the Kansas defense had a lot to say about that.
We'll get into all of it. We'll get into the rotations and what we're seeing and why we might be seeing them. I want to tell you about a new contest, though, here right off the top of the hour. Listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour for your daily entry. It includes travel and accommodations for 4 to Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with the national contest right there at kfhradio.com. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. So there that is for you. We still have lots to come on this show. We're going to get you ready for K-State, who plays tonight, right? Not as quick a turnaround as KU, but still pretty quick. And they get a very late game out in the desert. They'll play Arizona State tonight. It's a 9 o'clock tip. So we'll get you ready for that. That's an opportunity there for K-State to beat a team below them in the standings of the Big 12, but ahead of them in the net rankings. That's a nice opportunity for K-State. Arizona State has been pretty good at times this year. So we'll get into that game as well. We have Kyle Lindstedt, Sunrise Christian coach, coming in to talk about the Air Capital Hoop Fest, which is basically a parade of all the nation's best prep players, including a lot of them right there at Sunrise. But that's a big event for them. If you're a basketball fan, want to see the next generation of star players, that's a good opportunity to do it. And I want to ask him, you know, former assistant coach at Wichita State, what he thinks of the state of the Shockers right now. Those two programs, Sunrise and Wichita State, have a long history together. And we'll get Coach Lindstedt's take on that and the Sunrise Hoop Fest. So it's all coming for you again. Dan Israel coming in the next hour as well to talk Chiefs from New Orleans. Certainly, we will continue tons and tons of Chiefs-Eagles talk in a jam-packed Tuesday of Sports Daily. Let's rock and roll here. Our warm weather is gone, and now we're back to the cold weather. Now it feels like winter again. It slaps you in the face. Slaps you in the face.
Welcome to February in Kansas, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't like it. Stupid groundhog predicting more winter, fat little jerk. More winter. Get out of here, Phil. Get out of here. We want the spring. We want the warm weather. We're coming back. We'll dig into KU next.
time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody. On your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the Odyssey app today to get started. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you until 11 o'clock, and we're glad to be with you. We'll have Kyle Lindstedt in next segment, talk about a big hoops event coming up here in town, talk a little Shockers with Kyle Lindstedt. Tommy, it is a... It's a big win for KU last night. Look, they got to win all their games at home, right? So I don't want to like get overly excited that KU won a home game, but after you see something like that over the weekend at Baylor, and after you know what Iowa State allowed to happen against K-State, there's a little fear there, right? And I think the fear that I've been fearing maybe is becoming a little more validated. I just want them to be good enough to position themselves in the tournament for a run, and especially a run that comes through Wichita and essentially two home games if they can get there. And a win like last night goes a long way because their resume and maybe stacked right up against Iowa State. So you got to have that one. They needed the win badly. You know, there's going to be points where we look back in this season. They certainly will look back against Baylor and they'll feel bad about that. The Houston game, probably the most egregious of the, man, we should have had that one. West Virginia, you lost by a point at home. There are some losses that don't make sense this year. One of the losses that there wasn't really a lot of questions about, though, Tommy, was the first time they played Iowa State at Ames when they lost by 17 points, returning the favor last night. And I guess you look at that way too. Like that was a revenge game a little bit. They lost by 17 at their place. They win by 17 at home. I don't know which of those two things is more true on a neutral court, I guess. But it just no matter how you slice it, KU needed that last night in the worst way.
Well, don't you think they kind of cancel each other out a little bit? I mean, I don't think probably, that Kansas is 17 points better than Iowa State.
No,
and I don't think
either.
Iowa State is 17 points better right. than Kansas. You know, but you've got one game in Hilton, you've got one game in Allen Fieldhouse, and you know, the results are identical, just, you know, flip-flopped. I think that as far as a resume builder is concerned for the Jayhawks, yeah, I mean, you definitely will hang your hat on beating the number 8 team in the country, but then in context, the Cyclones have fallen apart in the last couple of weeks. You know, this is their third straight loss. You know, they lost by quite a bit to Kansas State at home over the weekend, as we know. So it's a Cyclones team that is struggling right now. They're trying to find the right fit, you know, for the team. And I think TJ Ulzelberger is trying to press all the right buttons to get, you know, his team back on track a little bit. And, you know, a lot of teams go through this where midway through the grind of a conference schedule, they are searching a little bit. And it just so happened that Kansas caught Iowa State at home when they were going through this. But at the same time, the Jayhawks were going through a little bit of this right. as well. After falling apart in the final minutes against Houston, after giving up the major lead against Baylor over the weekend. So, you know, I think that that's what made this matchup so intriguing, and I hate using hyperbole, you know, and I hate using the words must win, but last night was as much of a must win game for the Jayhawks in the middle of a regular season as you probably could have found, because of the circumstances around where they had been and, you know, what they've got coming up.
It becomes must win. Like, it's all about what do you put in the context of must win, right? Must win if what? Must win if they want to play in Wichita? Yeah, probably. Must win if they want to make the NCAA tournament?
Must win if they want to keep pace in the Big 12, you know?
Right. So I don't think that, I think we can say things like that all the time. Kansas, look, the expectations of Kansas are self-inflicted, right? We don't feel this way about any other team. We just expect that Kansas is going to be like a one seed every year. And that's great. That's the expectation they put on themselves.
They basically have been. I mean, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
The last 20 years, the worst they've been is a four seed.
So when we look at these seasons, like it's fully like, I think everybody understands it. I do. Like the way we analyze their seasons, their regular seasons are very, 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 very different than what you do for anybody else, right? Like you look at them and you just like, it just doesn't make sense for normal. But that is what it is. That's the expectation that you put on yourself. So yeah, when you lose any game at home, it's like, that can't happen. That's unacceptable. Now, blowing a 21-point lead against Baylor, that actually is unacceptable. But most of the time, it's just Kansas followers being like way unreasonable with the expectations of Kansas in college basketball, but they're self-inflicted. And so I think that's a part of it. And that's a part of being one of these blue bloods. But even among the blue bloods, there's not anybody that's consistently there like Kansas. We know that. Nobody is. And so here we are. And what is this team and what are they capable of? Well, they're capable of being the top team in the country. I really do believe that. You know, if they play their best game, I'll take them against anybody. Their best game. Finding their best game consistently has been a big, big challenge. Big challenge. And so you got to get there, right? How do you get back to the best team that you can be? And that's where we get into this debate of minute distribution, right? Minute distribution. What does that look like? You can't keep playing KJ and DeJuan and Dickinson together for that much. Man, they did it last night as much as they have in any game this season. So, you know, I think it's all situational, I guess. Like, when do you do it and when do you not do it is a pretty big question for the Jayhawks. Pretty big. I just, it works both ways. So which do you want, I guess?
Well, one of the things that came out of the game last night is it sounded like from the reports that I was reading that the fan base, at least the crowd in Allen Fieldhouse, they were chanting, you know, for Flory Badunga. Like, they wanted Flory Badunga to play more minutes and you know, needed him to, come out and execute. And I think that from what I had read, that it seemed to get to Flory Badunga's head maybe a little bit, or that, you know, the pressure was definitely on him. Because let's be honest, like, he didn't have his best game as a Jayhawk. And on the flip side, you've got KJ Adams, who played pretty well. And that's sort of become the narrative, right? It's become sort of the conversation about how many minutes does KJ Adams play? How many minutes does Flory Badunga play? Are those two guys interchangeable? Then you throw in Hunter Dickinson into the mix. And, you know, how do you rotate those three guys? And do you have all three of them on the court at the same time? I felt like with what KJ Adams brought last night, is what he typically brings. He brings that spark. He brings that energy factor. He brings, you know, that spark. And he was able to do that at a more consistent pace last night, I felt like. But it certainly doesn't quiet the conversation about that minute distribution between Flory and KJ.
I don't know what's going on with Flory and how he plays 14 minutes after he's looked so good.
And I think that some of it has to do with, you know, like I mentioned, I think that, you know, from what I had heard, I mean, the kid's young. You've got people in Allen Fieldhouse that are chanting his name that, you know, are wanting him to play more. That's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And, you know, look, I'll be the first person to say with KJ Adams, he's been put in a really unfair situation, because I felt like for a long time, while he's a great spark guy, I think that occasionally he's asked to do things that are not part of his game. And so then when he doesn't execute it at a high level, he gets a lot of criticism, but I'm not sure that that's really ever been his game. That being said, though, he did bring energy at a much higher clip last night than I think what he's been able to do most recently.
Yeah. And but does he, I still think him playing more minutes is the path. But it's almost like he's being used like most people would like to see KJ Adams used, right? As the spark plug. KJ Adams last night, 33 minutes of basketball, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. And they played really good collective defense, and he's a big part of that. But when you're looking for production, like statistical production, if you will, KJ Adams isn't going to be that. It almost feels like there's a role reversal, and maybe it's just as simple as you feel it out and then you can make the switch in the game. I don't know. AJ Storr had his moments last night. certainly in the first half, is becoming a little bit more of a spark plug. He has been far more productive lately, it feels like, than Ryland Griffin has.
I think Griffin
continues to get the starts.
I think Griffin was great, and I think that you need to have Griffin in the starting lineup moving forward. The thing about Griffin was that he took a lot of really good shots that didn't fall. He finally saw a couple of them fall late in the game. I just think that what he's able to do from a quickness perspective, that's something that the Jayhawks have needed. And there were a couple of plays on fast break or where Griffin was able to cut to the hoop where he's really difficult to defend. And so I think, you know, yeah, both him and Storr have a ton of great upside. That's why everybody was so excited for them to join the Jayhawks this year. I personally think that we're not going to see many more, maybe zero situations moving forward where Griffin's not in the starting lineup.
That may be the case, but I do think Storr's offensive upside is higher. And I would like to see him get unlocked by tournament time. Here's what I would love to see, because I've never had quite as strong an opinion with KJ. I like KJ Adams. I think he is insanely versatile. I just don't think he's a scorer. Which they need, though, is the problem. You know, they need a scorer in there. Zeke Mayo has done everything he can. He was great last night, obviously, hit 5 threes. But Hunter Dickinson can't do it all. We know that. And I think that's the challenge. Where can you generate more offense? I think, you know, of all the players that aren't playing quite as much, I feel like Storr's offensive upside is the highest. I'd love to see him find a way to play more minutes, but he may not be. You know, he may not be earning those minutes. That's stuff we don't know, or at least I don't know. I'm not in practice or anything like that. But I do think his upside of those guys that aren't playing much offensively is the highest. But it's hard for me, and I get the struggle, because I also think KU's path to being the best it can be is through absolute lockdown, shutdown, shut you out defense. And then that's probably where the lineup that they ran out there last night was good. It was good in the first half over the weekend against Baylor. And then it fell apart for some reason in the second half. And maybe it's just a quicker trigger to make the change. I don't know. But again, I think it's funny. Like, Bill Self just sort of flexes on everybody. Like, oh, you don't like that starting lineup? We'll watch him beat Iowa State by 17 points. You know, we played poorly. Don't worry about it. Okay. Like, that's fine. He's the best in the business for a reason. Like, whatever.
You know, there was a hustle play in the second half that was phenomenal. That, and actually there were a couple of them. There was one that ended up with a KJ lob. And I think that was near the end of the first half where, you know, DeJuan Harris dove for a loose ball, got it to Dickinson, who threw it, I think, to Diggy Coit, who then found Adams, you know, for the breakaway lob. And as soon as that happened, you know, that was really set up by Harris. And then, of course, Adams on the receiving end of it. And I'm like, these guys are never going to see the bench again. You know, like that was the kind of play where, like, Bill Self was like, OK, you guys are out there for the remainder of the game. And I think that some of it, Bill Self has been doing this for a long time. And the one thing that is a constant with him is that when you get to February, especially, the later the season goes, the rotations get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. You know, you don't see a lot of, you know, inexperience coming in. You don't see a lot of players that haven't earned the trust of Bill Self playing extended minutes. And typically, I've always been okay with that. I've always, like, you know, trusted the process, trusted the coach, trusted the Hall of Famer, all of that. And that's perfectly fine. Last night, it paid off because, again, the execution was better from those three guys. My point along the entire way has been, look, if you want to ride Dickinson and Adams and Harris, if you want to ride that big three into the ground and have them play 35-plus minutes, okay, but they better be executing. And if they're not able to do that, if they're tired, if their legs are tired, if they're not shooting well or defending well or, you know, getting back on defense or whatever it is, then you've got to be able to make a change to maybe fresher guys who have more upside. And that's been glaring at times, especially as, you know, you're watching a Baylor game in Waco where these guys look dead tired. And there's no change being made. There's no substitutions happening late in that game, and Baylor wins the game. Same thing with Houston in the last couple of minutes of the game. It didn't happen last night, so I don't know exactly what buttons were pushed to make sure that didn't happen. Maybe they had a comfortable enough lead where they felt like they were able to kind of go on cruise control a little bit. I don't know, but it worked last night.
It's hard to imagine the best defensive lineup not including Flory Badunga, but I think it's as simple as this is what Bill Self feels like is his best defensive five.
Well, and he said that after the Baylor game. Like, he said that part of the reason why he kept KJ Adams in there for so long was he felt like that was the best defensive lineup that the Jayhawks could have out there. And I'm like, Billy, you gave up 60 points and a half. Like, I understand that the players don't perform. I get it. But at some point, press some different buttons. Like, if you're going to give up 60 points and a half, I get that that's what you would like to see be your best defensive lineup. And maybe it is on paper, but they're certainly not executing at that point.
At that moment, they weren't. I think they do execute most of the time. That's what made that Baylor thing so wild. For me, I don't care. Look, it doesn't matter that... this lineup split, it is all about execution. Hunter Dickinson was good defensively last night. 9 rebounds, 4 blocks. Like, good. I think the simplest way, and there's got to be something going on with Badunga, like he's not practicing well or whatever it is. And how often do young, especially young big men, Tommy, find their way into Bill Self's doghouse? It happens like 7 times a season for these young star big men. It happens all the time. So, we'll get into this, and by the end of it, I still think the path is rest for Dickinson as much as it is for Adams, honestly. I've said this from the beginning of the season. He powered through it last night, but if you can get him a little more rest, and that's where Badunga plays, like Badunga should just spell both of those guys, and I'm fine with both of those guys in the lineup. I just want to see Dickinson as fresh as he can be throughout the game. And I wonder if there is a defensive lineup with Badunga that makes them even better than with Dickinson, and they can use that in moments where they need a few stops. We'll see. Either way, huge win for the Jayhawks last night. Had to have it. Again, relative to their expectations, had to have it. It puts them up in a better positioning in the Big 12. They're now tied with Iowa State for fourth. They'll have some work to do. Look, they play Tech one more time, they play Houston one more time, and they play Arizona. Those are the teams they sit behind in the Big 12. You're 3 games back, though, of Houston and Arizona. Highly doubt that Kansas is going to have a run at a Big 12 regular season title, but that's okay. Like, this is a Big 12 now that is absurd. It's crazy. It's wild. We will look back at that Houston game as probably the one. Like, if it's real close at the end, that's the game everyone will look back to and just shake your head at. There's been a few of those, but then there's these games too. So remember that, KU fans, the next time you want to, you know, throw your phone through the wall as they blow a second half lead against Baylor. The best of Kansas is very, very, very good. And it's a whole lot better than it was last year. This team this year versus that team last year, Tommy, to me, like, it's not even the same ballpark. This team is much, much better than that team was a year ago.
I think, and I said this yesterday, I think that's what has made this season so frustrating is that they should be a lot better. Like, they're a lot more talented, right? Like, they're a very talented team.
Yeah.
They're more experienced. They haven't executed at the way that they
every
should.
Time
every time
neither
right?
has neither has any other team
but man,
in college basketball.
You know what they did last night for sure, and so you take that, you ride it into going to Manhattan this weekend for what'll be a big Sunflower Showdown.
We're going to talk about that. Shockers and Wildcats play tonight. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to have you with us here on Sports Daily. We are happy to be joined now by Sunrise Christian basketball coach Kyle Lindstedt. Got a huge event coming up here in Wichita, the Air Capital Hoop Fest coming up this week. And if you don't know what that is, just it is as much high school prep talent collected in one place as you'll ever see, including for Sunrise. We know, Coach, you guys always have all these great players. Now you're welcoming in a ton of them all in one place. And these events, if you're a Hoops fan, these can get pretty interesting. It's, you know, who's in the crowd and who's watching these guys play and what kind of crazy things are they going to do within a game? This is a lot of fun. Welcome into Sports Daily. How are you?
Hey, Jacob. Good morning. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're good. It's that time of year. It's basketball season, man. Yeah, how can you not be happy right now?
Yeah, happy and tired, I think. from one airplane to the next right now for us. So we're super excited to be playing playing some league games in Wichita. It's a good opportunity for us.
Coach, what does it mean for you, like, for as heading up this squad, to have your guys playing and representing Wichita in this huge weekend of prep basketball, where you've got some of the top talent not only on your team but around the country all coming into Wichita?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I think being from Wichita, growing up in Wichita, and being a basketball guy my whole life, as many people here in Wichita are, I understand the love for the game that many Wichitans have, and people from Kansas. And so to be able to bring, a bunch of future NBA guys here to town, and you know, it's not just the talent level. These guys are big, they're long, they're athletic. And I understand how Wichitans like their basketball. And they like it when it's a little bit more physical and about defense. And that's what this will be. You got a bunch of guys that, you know, this is a league game. So, we're fighting to make the league tournament, a national tournament with only the top eight teams in the country make it. And a lot of these teams, including ourselves, are the ones fighting for it. So I just think the level of talent that will be on display. But I think it's just good basketball. If you love basketball, it's more than just dunks and future NBA guys. It's like these dudes are going to be playing hard, and it's going to be a dogfight.
It always is. It's such an interesting part of the local basketball community. You've spent two stints there now, which is really interesting to me. Now, in the second time, after time at major Division I college basketball, including with the Shockers, which we'll ask you about here in a little bit. But then into the NBA a little bit as well, and now back to Sunrise. What has the journey back been like? How is that any different maybe than the first time around?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, completely fulfilled is how I feel, being here and being in this place. This is home. My father started the school. I went to school here. I met my wife here. My wife and I have six kids. They're three of which are out of the house, grown up and married. And so to stop traveling all the time year round and just do it during the season is great. And, I feel like I kind of went on this basketball journey where it was about learning as much as I could about the game. And I believe all of that occurred so I could be here again and teach the game to guys that need it. I mean, these guys are guys that are getting ready to go into a business world, and the game is totally different than what they think it is right now. And so, we have some hard days where it's not quite as easy as they think it should be. That's a nice way to put it. But it's just, I know that my journey has brought me through those experiences and basically got me an education in high level basketball to help these young men and be here at a place I love and want to be. And I'm home and with my family, which couldn't be better.
On top of Sunrise Christian, Coach, in this Air Capital Hoop Fest, we've got AZ Compass Prep out of Chandler, Arizona, Veritas Academy in L.A., and Link Academy in Branson, Missouri. And you sent me last night the list of all of the top guys, the top prospects, not just with Sunrise, but with all four of these programs. You mentioned the landscape in prep basketball, and obviously things have changed a lot in this NIL world and the way that, players are recruited and, the top programs and what all that looks like. How has that, from your perspective with Sunrise, changed the day-to-day when you're in this world of now NIL and just the ever-changing world of college basketball?
Yeah, it's there's an ugly side to it, of course. And I think now everybody sees that ugly side. Before all of this was public, there was an ugly side, but it was on the underside and nobody saw it. We all heard about it, right? Everybody heard about it, but now it's a public side. So, I'm coaching 16-year-olds that have agents. You know, it's a weird world. I'm communicating with an agent and a parent, and it's just different. But if you look at it, it is a business, and so I do think I don't love all the changes. I'm probably like most people, and I don't love all the changes. But there's a huge need for people that really care for these guys and want to help them. And then, you know, try to keep them from making mistakes, because there's sharks. There's a lot of sharks that swim in these waters, you know, because there's innocent parents and there's innocent players. And sometimes the loudest voice in the room wins. So, I think that obviously college basketball at the highest levels, which our guys end up going to, is better because of this new system. In a weird way, the talent is better, I should say, because think about it. You go to KU, think about walking in there as a freshman. I mean, you can't be just a regular freshman. Obviously, we know you got to be super talented. But I think that's the struggle you see with some of these high-level freshmen that decided to stay at just a regular high school. It leads to a lot of inconsistency and the grind of the college season and what you're expected to do. I'd say the margin of error is just so small. And our guys have played with that, you know, for a year or two if they come here. And it's very, very hard to earn trust when every possession matters. And that's the thing you're seeing with some of these freshmen. It's like, you know, they don't quite get it. You know, this guy's been shouting at you for 6 months. It's different than a dude that's been doing this for 2.5 years now. And so I think that the new system almost warrants a high-level player trying to get to a prep situation. That's what we're seeing. I mean, a lot of the guys that are surefire Division I players just know, like, you know, I got to do something different. Because, you know, let's face it, if you're thinking of college level, there's a lot of just okay players in regular high school basketball. There just is. And when you get to the college level, they're just, those guys don't exist. Everybody's a genetic lottery winner. And it's going to be very, very tough for you to operate in those small spaces if you're not used to it.
I think Grady Dick's the easy example of that for people to see. Coach, I want to ask you about Wichita State, a place you've spent time, a place that you know, back in the first run had a lot of connections with. Yep. Shockers have been struggling for a couple of years. I don't know if that's symptomatic of the new system or what it is, but how have you from the outside now viewed that program, and what can they do to get things back to where they need to be for this community?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, Paul and his staff, super, super nice people, and I know they're working tremendously hard at it. He's a bright person and a bright mind. You know, I think the plan of attack at Wichita State almost has to be different. I think you got to find some guys that want to get it out of the mud a little bit, and you got to find guys that are, you know, going to play gritty and tough and physical basketball. Because you know, if you're going to play a stylish brand, you better do that with top level talent. So you better find guys that want to defend and rebound and muck it up a little bit if you're going to compete. And I also think that that's what people, I mean, I know the basketball temperature in this town. If you want to bring people to the yard, like, you better bring a little grit with you, a little fight. And so obviously I think Paul understands that, knows that. He knows they got to move that direction. They're even recruiting maybe our grittiest player right now. So, it's like that would be a good fit. And obviously I'm probably cheering for him to go there.
Heck yeah.
A little bit, because just keep him close to home. And then obviously love to help the Shocks if we can. I think those are the things, like, you know, there's a formula you can find. And I'm not saying it's easy. But, you know, I just think you got to go get it out of the mud a little bit. And, you know, I think we have enough resources, you know, to get the right guys. It's just, you know, it's a matter of time. And as you know, like, I mean, you look at a place even like Kansas, you know, I mean, here, you've got all these perfect ingredients, right? And sometimes the pie flops. I mean, it just does. They don't fit well together. And so, you know, I don't know what the perfect recipe is, but I would say that mud pie for the Shocks is probably where they need to go. And, You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to do here at Sunrise. You look at those rosters that I sent you for the high school thing, and it's like, you know, we've got a few guys that can't play offense at the level that some of those dudes can, but we definitely got guys that can guard those guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what you got to figure out and find out. Like, it just can't, it's not going to be sleek and sexy all the time. Sometimes you got to muck it up a little bit. And I think that's probably where the Shocks need to head.
I love it. I'm going to need some tips. I tell them I coach my daughter's fourth grade basketball team, and I don't know anything about anything, but I tell them, hey, if the other team doesn't score, you can't lose. Like, that's all I ever tell them. Like, don't worry about anything else.
Hey, and if I know anything, fourth grade girls know how to muck it up.
They do. They can get nasty.
I've seen some jump balls.
Yes. They can get a little spicy in there. Coach, yeah. I just, like, we see the success you guys are having. We see the success Luke Barnwell's having out there. It's such a great asset to the community. And I hope everybody goes and checks it out, because it is incredible when you go watch some of these young people play, and you get four premier programs here. It's the 7th and the 8th. Real quick, coaches, we've got just a couple of minutes here. Kyle Lindstedt joining us. People can get tickets to this still. Yes.
Yes, they can. It's at Newman University. It's on the, I'm going to have to look at my card here. It's at Newman University. It's Friday at 6 and 8 and Saturday at 4 and 6. And they can go online and get tickets. You can go to sunrisechristianhoops.com.
There you go.
Give you all the information about the players, the event. But we'd love to have some basketball fans out from this community. And obviously thank you guys for your support and giving us a chance to talk about it. And, we want to be a blessing in these guys' lives, these young men's lives, and we want to be a blessing to our community. That's our school's mission. So it's a privilege to do it, and I'm enjoying it. And thank you so much.
Keep churning out these premier players. Kyle Lindstedt, head coach, Sunrise Christian, round two. They're right back where they always are, which is at the top, sending players to the next level and winning a ton of games. Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
There goes Kyle Lindstedt again at Newman Friday and Saturday. You can get tickets to both. You won't regret it if you're a basketball fan. We'll come back another hour of Sports Daily right after this.